Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Have you been seriously injured? Mama Justice is here for you. Our medical team partners with top-notch doctors, surgeons, therapists, and urologists, ensuring a comprehensive recovery journey. If you've been injured, call Mama Justice today. We're here for you.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air from the Southern Bank Corp studio here in Hattiesburg. Full crew, Bob, Kelly, Dima. Kelly even dressed up today like an adult. Dima, did you notice that?
I don't know if we can say that's an adult outfit with snow cones all over it.
Kelly has his famous snow cone outfit on today.
Because I'm the Hattiesburg fashion plate, it just drives you guys crazy, doesn't it?
That's one way of putting it. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. It's Wednesday. We always visit with our good friend Travis Creel, Southern Miss baseball coach. Golden Eagles go up north last night, run into a buzzsaw. There's an old saying sometimes in sports where the coach says, we're just going to throw that game film away and move forward. Would that be an example of last night?
Yeah, for sure. I said that in the post game. Obviously, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong, and just got to move on and get ready for App State.
Well, that's really all you can do. Obviously, a lot of kids pitched last night that don't normally see a whole lot of time, and I guess some nights that they're going to run into that. But team really struggled at the plate last night. Your thoughts about the batting performance?
Yeah, we just got to get more consistent, man. It's Saturday and Sunday against Troy. I thought we were awesome, and last night I thought five or six guys had really good swings and approaches all night, and three or four guys didn't, and you got to be consistent 1 through 9 to score against good arms, and we certainly were not last night.
Coach, I was at the game, and I just thought the overall mood in the dugout was just kind of different from what I've seen from this team over the past several weeks. Just didn't seem really energized at all, and I know you guys took a big punch in the mouth there early, but I guess what was your thoughts on the mood of the locker, of the dugout?
Yeah, I thought early in the game it was normal and good. There was good energy. And then we kind of got punched in the mouth in the first and didn't respond on offense in the second, and then got punched in the mouth some more and some more and some more. And obviously when you're getting beat really bad, it's hard to stay as upbeat as you want to be. But at the start of the game, I didn't think there was an issue with the energy or compete. But certainly as the game went on, it was pretty bad.
To give credit where credit is due, I thought Mississippi State's pitchers, the breaking balls that they were throwing were filthy. A lot of really good runs on fastballs. I thought that the state pitching staff last night was I don't know that they could, as a staff, pitch better than they pitched last night. Travis, what are your thoughts?
They're really good. They're really up there in a lot of stats, especially strikeouts, and they have really, really good stuff. But at the end of the day, to get where we want to get to, we got to hit guys with really good stuff. We're playing in regionals and super regionals and conference championships. And, to get to Omaha, you got to hit guys with really good stuff. So, last night just kind of fell short in every category.
But do you got to guess that sometime on that 3-2 pitch or that last pitch, and sometimes they'd get one up the ladder, and then they drop one in there at about the ankles, and Mississippi State's guys guessed right last night, and our guys didn't, it seems to me.
Yeah, they're really, really talented on offense and on the mound. In order to beat a really talented team like that, like we did a couple weeks ago, we got to play really good, and we got to compete really hard. We got to fill up the strike zone, and we got to have big two-out hits. We had some opportunities early in the game yesterday to get some big knocks and just didn't do it. And they seemed like every time they had traffic on base, they were hitting doubles and homers. That's the name of the game. Hitting runners in scoring position, filling up the strike zone, dominating routine plays, and they just you know, they whipped us.
Once the game started to get out of hand a little bit, did that change the pitching approach or who was going in and or how many pitches each guy was going to get to go? Or how did that affect that aspect?
Yeah, I think so. I think if it was tighter, we would have went to, you know, our three, four of our better dudes, you know, Colby, Ock, Camden, those guys. Once it gets out of hand and you realize the game's kind of out of hand, things change and then you want to get some experience for some younger guys. And unfortunately, we got there in about the third inning.
Coach, what was the message to the ball team last night after the game?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. You know, Oz's message to the team was we ran into a buzzsaw, and we got to move on from it really quickly. Get your stuff, get on the bus. Let's get better to the next 2 days and get ready for conference play on Friday.
You talked about a little bit, Travis, about just the inconsistencies at the plate. What do you think has to change moving forward for that to be starting to get more consistent during conference play?
Yeah, I think we have some really good players that aren't playing good right now. We got to get those guys going. You know, I think every game, I mean, last night, you know, our lineup started out with five guys hitting over 300, and those guys that are have been pretty consistent and giving you good at bats a lot of games, and the other guys are just, you know, hit or miss. This past weekend, I thought Russo made some huge strides, had some great at bats. Obviously, we need to get him going. You know, Stockman and Barrett are two others that they're good players, and we need them to you know, get hits in big moments. And you know, and again, I thought we did this weekend. I really did against some really good arms from Troy. And then last night, you know, I don't know if it was just getting down so early or getting punched in the mouth, but for whatever reason, you know, we didn't respond well.
I guess what I'm really asking is, I know you need to get all those guys going, but I guess I'm taking a step further and saying, like, how do you get those guys going from a hitting coach perspective?
Yeah, you work. Uh-huh. I mean, at the end of the day, whether they're going or not, you work every day. And obviously, you know, there's video, there's cage time, there's field time, there's you know, a lot of psychological work as well. Because you know, this is a very humbling game. It's really it's really not for the mentally weak, and if you're struggling, it can eat at you. And you got to find a way to find confidence, and then that's our job, is to put them in a position where, in practice, where they feel like things are turning around, and get that confidence back, and you know, flushing the past probably week and a half for a lot of those guys.
Coach, when I was speaking earlier this week with some of the ballplayers, one thing Bull said to me was that the team gets a good hit, but they're having trouble stringing back-to-back-to-back good hits together, and that's an area that he felt like, from a team standpoint, they really needed to improve. I'm going to guess you agree with that assessment.
Yeah, and that's what we've been kind of pushing down their throats. That's what we did so good for the first 16 games of the season, or 15 games of the season, against really good arms, just stacking up quality at bats. That doesn't mean getting hits every time. But just stacking up quality at bats, you know, we want to get three or four an inning every inning. I mean, that's our ultimate goal. Obviously, that's not super realistic, but that's our goal every inning. And, you know, it seems like, you know, the past 10 games or so, you know, we'll have one or two good at bats an inning, and then just kind of a couple of not so good. And 100% in order to score a bunch of runs, you got to be consistent, and that starts with we're just having a deep, consistent lineup 1-9.
All right, so that's in the rearview mirror now. You got the Mountaineers coming in this weekend.
Right.
That's right.
Tell us about what we know about them at this point.
Yeah, you know, they're just above 500. They have a couple pitchers with some really good numbers, a couple hitters with some really good numbers. You know, played Coastal three really close games last weekend and got swept. But all three were you know, one swing of the bat type score games. So, everybody's good, man. Everybody's good in college baseball. Everybody's good in the Sun Belt. You know, but we just got to focus on us. If we play good, we'll be fine.
Coach, do you anticipate any change in your batting lineup or anything different this Friday night, or is this just one game you put it in the trash can and go back to what you do?
I hope we have one change. I hope Ben Higdon's healthy and he can play. That'd be a huge jolt for us. Russo obviously got hit. I don't know if y'all got hit in the kneecap last night.
Yes. How is he, Coach?
I think he's fine. I'm out on the road recruiting right now, but I was texting with him this morning, and he thinks he's fine. Just kind of got dead legged last night, so I think he'll be fine. Higdon did some sprints today, trending in the right direction. So those two would be huge.
Yeah, getting him back would be really big.
And let me let you know that if I was hit with a 99-mile-an-hour fastball in my knee,
you'd be at the clinic right now.
Russo walked to first base. I would be on the ground and be stretchered off.
Well, the baseball's in critical condition.
Did you ever take a lick like that on your knee, Coach, when you were playing?
I don't know about the kneecap, but certainly got hit a bunch. Part of the game. But Russo, that's why he's a good hitter. He doesn't move. Good hitters don't move their feet.
But truth is, to get hit with a fastball in your knees got to hurt like hell, isn't that right?
Yeah, but I could think of worse places. But
all right, Coach, we know you're out on the road.
There might be one worse place.
Hunting down future Golden Eagles, so we won't keep you longer today. But we sure appreciate you joining us every Wednesday and look forward to seeing you this Friday night at Pete Taylor Park.
All right, guys, appreciate it.
Travis Creel, everybody. Sounds a little down. I guess that's understandable, right?
Yeah, but if you've ever played sports of any kind, these happen.
Of course they do.
And it's not an indictment on the whole season.
No. The Detroit Tigers won a game every now and then.
They do. The old blind hog theory. And look, the team that beat them last night's pretty decent.
Yeah, who beat them?
No, I'm saying the Eagles.
Oh, well, that team. Anybody that doesn't want to recognize Mississippi State's good, the only suggestion I would have to their fans is chill out just a little bit. The series is 1-1. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. That opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, a great place for a family meal any night of the week, great place to cater baseball this weekend or anything that might be on your schedule. I'm going to remind you that Friday we're going to be doing one of our favorite remote locations, Fuzzy's Tacos. What is it we like so much about Fuzzy's, Kelly?
This is only an hour show. I like the watermelon margaritas.
Yes, you do. I've noticed that.
But corporate has said now no watermelon margaritas for me
until 2:01.
Yes, until after the show.
And trust me, it's about
0:30
when Kelly's hitting the the food's delicious. Justin Harris is a great friend of ours.
And you can still feed your family for an affordable price.
It is always fresh and good. Huh, Dima? We had some pretty good fuzzy Saturday, didn't we?
No doubt. No doubt about that. That was a nice treat.
All right.
Before we go on, Bob, I just want to shake my buddy Dima's hands. I mean, to get the seat that he had last night in Starfield,
tell us about
it. I didn't put it on Twitter so people don't know what we're talking about.
You got to be really important to get that kind of seating, buddy.
I'll
tell you what.
The seating arrangements.
I went to Starkville last night, of course, to cover the game, and it was such a beautiful stadium. You got to give. I mean, it's a gorgeous park. Gorgeous. There were so many. There was a lot of fans there. I think it was one of the biggest midweek crowds ever. And I was like, man, this should be a pretty good press box. You know, I've never been there before. And they gave me my seat assignment, and I sit down, and I notice I can see the scoreboard in left field, but I can't see the in part of the infield and home plate.
That's unbelievable. And so, Jack Duggan was over there near you.
He was sitting to my right, and he could see home plate but not the outfield. So the whole game, it was like, was that a strike, Jack? Yeah. We hear the cling off the bat, and I see the ball flying, and I'm like, oh, there's the ball. And Jack goes, where'd that go?
How do you figure that, Kelly?
They might have built it as like a luxury box, but then realized nobody wanted to buy that one, so they gave it to the visitor.
In all the years you and I covered sports, when he sent me the picture last night, I'm thinking, what? I've never seen anything like this in my life.
No, I hadn't either, honestly.
Well, the thing is, like, if they would have just opened that up, everybody would have been able to see, but they have these pillars in between the press box that just make no sense.
Yeah. Beautiful stadium.
It is. It is a beautiful stadium.
Of course, they could have said, Dima, we know what the final score is going to be, and you've got the best view because the ball's going to be going out in the outfield.
Yeah, at least you missed all those swing and misses.
Yeah. Man.
But again, it's one of those.
It's a baseball.
Yeah, game. Just one of those times. It happens.
You said that to me last night or this morning. It's just a midweek game, but you and I do agree on this. This is 2 years in a row now that the Golden Eagles have beaten Mississippi State here. I think they've beaten State here 3 years in a row. But then get that return trip to Starkville and just not competitive.
It was really disappointing to see. And I understand the, obviously the just a midweek game really doesn't matter RPI-wise and stuff like that. But if you want to be nationally recognized as – people get mad at calling Southern Miss a mid-major program. You need to be able to go into these SEC ballparks and compete. You know, historically, over the past 3 or 4 years, when they go to these road SEC midweek games, they do not compete that well. You know, they lose to Ole Miss a couple of times in Oxford. They've lost to Alabama and Tuscaloosa. Obviously, the back-to-back blowout losses to State. They need to go up, and I think you got to at least compete a little bit more and show a little bit more fire at the plate. Now, I understand that State jumped out to kind of just a commanding lead early, you know, so it was almost like it was over before it really started. But it was disappointing. I mean, if you're calling yourself a top 15 team, you got to be able to go in there and handle that environment. Kind of like Travis Creel said, he said, yes, Mississippi State has good stuff, but if we want to get to where we want to be, which is Omaha, we got to be able to hit that stuff. He's right on that. And I think that's what, you know, that is where Southern Miss wants to be, is playing teams like that in postseason play. And you got to show that you have the ability to go up there and do it.
I think the last time they went to an SEC facility and played really well would have been the Auburn Regional.
I agree. And, of course, you only had to play Auburn once. You know, you kind of got the luckiness of Penn beating them and got to play them once and then beat them and then, you know, took out Samford and Penn in the regional finals and stuff like that. But you're right, where they were able to compete over there and win that game.
So State now 17-0 at home?
Correct.
All right, so, I mean, they're going to be awfully – I don't care who you're playing. They're going to be really tough up there at that place.
I totally agree. It's really not that big of a ballpark as far as to the outfield. Mm-hmm. It's only 305 to the right field wall. Right. That's where Jacob Parker got out that line drive homer. Yeah.
I did hear a comment last night. These guys just don't come over here. But they said Southern Miss hits a lot of home runs, but they play in a smaller ballpark than this. Incorrect.
That park is smaller than
the dimensions of Pete Taylor Park are bigger than the field at MSU, but nevertheless. All right, so wash that one down the toilet, so to speak. And App State coming up. Man, you don't have much time. You got to regroup here, and you got to go win this series.
I really thought
– You hope you get a sweep.
I really thought going into this season that there were definitely going to be a tale of two cities as far as the caliber of baseball teams in the league. I thought there was going to be a clear upper tier and a clear –
I don't think there is.
Not right now.
Right.
And so when Travis Creel said, man – and I felt kind of frustration when he said, man, there just isn't anybody bad in this league now.
I disagree. Georgia Southern is awful.
Did we play them?
But that's one team.
The last week of the season. Oh,
but that's
they got beat. Who did, I gotta look. They got
but,
beat.
But that's one team. But I'm saying, other than that, when you talk about tiers, I thought there would be two or three teams that were going to be head and shoulders better than everybody else. Yeah. But so far, and again, we're just 2 weeks into it. They all appear to be competitive.
Kelly, midweeks are so unpredictable. We've seen State and Ole Miss play, and I thought Ole Miss was every bit as good as Mississippi State when they were here. They break it back into the top 25 and then lose last night to Memphis, which is a very mediocre program. It's just so difficult to judge things by midweek, right?
Because you're trying to accomplish different things in midweek. And as Coach Creel had mentioned, had that game been a little bit tighter last night, you would have seen a different approach to the parade of pitchers.
It was 9-0. You're not going to burn up Kobe Allen on Tuesday night.
So why not let some of these flat bellies get in there, these young kids who haven't pitched, and let them see what they've got.
I agree.
You have to be able to
– painful sometimes to do that, but necessary.
Correct.
Yeah. And last night was the first time a freshman has given up an earned run, by the way. It broke that streak. Well, at least Southern Miss – you know, Georgia Southern had about the night that Southern Miss had at Charleston Southern, going down 14-0 in the fourth to Charleston Southern.
Charleston Southern, and that's not Mississippi State.
That's not Miss. So Travis might be right about most teams in the league, but Georgia Southern, they are
Yeah.
Awful.
And that is such a head scratcher to me because Rodney Hennen is the dean of coaches in the Sun Belt. And I don't know what's going on in Statesboro.
I think after this year, you're going to say Rodney Hennington was the dean of coaches in the Sun Belt.
Could very well be because it's if you judge it on what have you done for me lately, the Eagles are struggling.
Yep. Any final thoughts, Demi? You were there.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of go back to what I asked Travis Creel. It just didn't seem to me like there was much fight in the team. I mean, it was kind of odd. And I hear what he's saying, you know, to start the game and stuff. But, I mean, I think even when you took that punch and you went down 4-0, you know, and you still got to show some fight, show some resolve.
It was the two home runs after the 4-0 lead that really broke their back.
Right. Made it 9-0. But still, I mean, it just was just kind of wasn't a lot of fight. I mean, it was kind of just shocking almost to see it because you're not used to seeing that out of the baseball team.
Okay. So with the youngsters that you guys saw last night, pluses, minuses of the kids
They all look fine. Cale Farr came in, got a couple strikeouts. I mean, I thought the most encouraging pitcher that came out of the pen was Drake Meeks because that's a guy who's been rehabbing. He hasn't been used really at all this season. He comes out, of course, gives up a couple hits, but they all did. But he looked pretty good, and he was sitting 94-95 on the gun, which is exactly where he wanted to be. If they could get him, you know, on the back end of stuff, you know, that's another arm they could get you some closer situations.
And let's be honest, you're going to see different arms this weekend than what you saw last night. You're going to see the frontline guys pitching again Friday night. And, hey, that's smart coaching. Why would you burn up one of your guys that you're going to be depending on for a good 4, 5, 6 innings this weekend? You're not.
And if you really want to test the temperament of these young kids, why not throw them into the fire against a team like Mississippi State? Okay, you wanted to pitch, kid. This is one of the best teams you're going to see all year.
Yeah.
Let me see what you got.
Well, I'll tell you what. After seeing them twice, that Mississippi State offense is
pretty good.
Probably one of the better offenses I've seen.
All right, is this fair to say? With the game that concluded last night, now they do play Ole Miss in 2 weeks up in Pearl. The hardest part of the schedule behind them.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, if you look down the schedule, you would think – now, they had to hit the ball, but you would have to think that they were going to be their favorite in probably every remaining game.
Correct.
They're not going to win every remaining game, but they're definitely the favorite in every remaining game.
You know what's a crazy stat, guys? 3 Mississippi schools in the top 10 of RPI this morning. Isn't that amazing?
Well, a lot of it is because they're playing each other.
It sure helped.
A little bit concerning to me on the hitters last night, that particularly with 2 strikes against them, they weren't even close to hitting the ball on some of those. And again, part of that is to credit the run that the State pitchers had on their fastballs. But they had especially sharp, biting, breaking pitches where the guys, they just weren't close on some of those with 2 strikes. That was a little bit disconcerting. But again, just as good hitting can be contagious, so can bad hitting be.
All right, Camden Sustrom did not pitch last night. Undoubtedly, he will this weekend. We talked to him earlier this week, and we'll bring that conversation to you as well as other discussion when the Super Talk Eagle Hour continues.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Eagle Tire West sponsors the second segment of our program every day. Great place for Goodyear quality tires. Full service auto and truck service. Highway 98 West, Hattiesburg. Family owned and operated since 1985. Eagle Tire, Eagle Tire West. And, of course, DBAT sponsors this segment of our program down on the Hardy Street. Great state-of-the-art facility for baseball, softball, training for kids. Every sport for adults, they can make your game be the best it can be. And our good buddies at Forest Health want to say hello to them and remind you to get a physical, take good care of yourself, and rely on the expert medical care that's closer to home. That's at foresthealth.org. All right, we're about to bring an interview we did with Camden Sustrom, but Dima set this up. What does this kid mean to the team? And like you're going to hear, he's off to a really good start.
Yeah, obviously he's a very important bridge piece for them. There's a lot of discussion right now about him potentially becoming the Saturday guy and maybe moving that Sunday to a TB announced. I think there's a possibility of that, especially with Crabtree starting on Tuesday last night, because Sundstrom has that four-pitch mix that you're looking for in a starter, and he can definitely extend. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with him to
All right, Camden Sustrom. Camden, you're off to a great start, man. How are you feeling mentally and physically?
Mentally and physically, I mean, I just take it one day at a time. Everything feels great right now, though. I know I've already almost thrown as many innings as I had or as I did last year, but I don't feel much fatigue right now.
Mm-hmm. I just asked Colby Allen this earlier. You guys brought in a second pitching coach. You've already got the best pitching coach in the country. What is the addition of the second pitching coach added to the team, and how have these coaches here developed you since you came here, Camden?
Well, I've known Coach Leger for a little while. I'm from Louisiana, so I've kind of had a little connection with him. But, I mean, he comes in, and I feel like he's very personable with us. We could have easy conversations with him. But then whenever it's that time to get in the mindset, he's there for us, and he'll let us know what we need to do. And then he's also extremely, extremely smart on the analytical side of things. So he kind of helps us to understand more of how we pitch, what our pitches do, and all that sort of thing.
How have you developed since you came here as a pitcher?
I mean, majorly. I think I hit 90 miles an hour once or twice in high school, and obviously now I'm sitting well over that. And Coach Oz, whenever all freshman pitchers get here first, like the main thing he preaches is to have that competitive mindset, and his style of pitching for us is to kind of, it's more on the mental side rather than mechanics. It's to, like, conviction behind each pitch, not just throwing a throw, not just trying to put the ball in a spot, but do it with conviction. So, I mean, I've gained a lot more confidence since I've gotten here pitching.
You know, your strikeout-to-walk ratio is sick. It's 32 strikeouts to 3 walks.
Yes, sir. I think my first walk was against Nichols the first time we played him at the Pete. And the next day when we had practice, Coach Oz made sure to let me know that I walked a guy whenever we were walking back up. So,
32 strikeouts to 3 walks. He's not going to remind you of every single walk now moving forward, is he?
I don't believe so, but I know – I mean, I kind of – I probably shouldn't do this, but mentally I like keep a little tally because, I mean, obviously each pitcher wants to keep that walk number as low as possible. So, I mean, kind of just got to go out there and do what I need to do.
All right, put us in your mind when you're on the mound. Are you thinking a lot or are you just focused on throwing strikes?
I'm focused. I'm, like, extremely focused. I almost make it personal to – face the batter. I mean, I hate hitters. I want to make them look as stupid as possible, but also while giving our team a chance to win. So, I mean, I'm also extremely competitive. Sometimes you may see it in emotion or whatnot, but yeah, I'm extremely competitive, especially when I'm pitching.
Now, you don't hate that hitter sitting right over to your left, do you?
Only in the fall.
Oz told us earlier this week that you guys really butchered a lot of these freshmen in fall ball from the mound. I guess you enjoyed that.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. But I guess while doing that, that's also a way of them to kind of learn how we do things whenever they first get here, kind of get their feet wet, step in the water a little bit. But, I mean, I think it's better for them because they'll get to learn from people that have thrown with experience and all that type of stuff. So,
Kevin, what's your journey been like so far?
Pretty smooth, honestly. Not many setbacks. I mean, again, like I said earlier, I threw a decent bit as a freshman, and now I've kind of thrown even more than that. So, I mean, I hope that the plan is only to go up, but, I mean, obviously there could be stuff in the way of that. But, I mean, just got to put trust and faith and just keep doing what you got to do.
All right, put us in your mind when you're out here and the atmosphere is as crazy as it gets in this place and you come out on the mound. What is Camden Sustrom thinking?
Honestly, I don't think much, but I know whenever it gets down to two strikes, there's like a different level of energy that my body kind of feels, or kind of adrenaline. Adrenaline really hits whenever there's two strikes and everyone's beating their feet on the bleachers. So, I mean, it just adds another level of focus and intent behind the next pitch. And I don't know if the fans really realize it, but they provide so much energy for us. It's unimaginable.
Yeah. All right, moving forward, your goals for yourself the rest of the year?
Honestly, just go out there and compete. Whenever my name's called, I just plan to go out there and put my team in the best position, let our hitters put up runs, try to keep the other team from scoring as much as we do, and just letting our team compete.
I've heard a lot of people say if this baseball team scores 4 or 5 runs a game with this pitching staff, they're going to win 99% of their games.
I'll take that. Yeah, I mean, we got good depth from top to bottom, from starter to closer, relief pitcher, setup, all that type of stuff. So I know Coach Oz is confident in our staff, and I believe the hitters are extremely confident in us, too, to keep ball games close.
All right, best pitching staff you've been a part of?
No doubt, 100%.
We appreciate you, man. Good luck, and continue the good work.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
No walks.
I try not to.
Thank you. All right, so you think, and I think you're right about that, he does seem the logical guy to step into that weekend starter role, Damo.
Yeah, and it's kind of what I asked Oz on Monday, is that balance of, you know, taking these bridge players, such as the Sundstroms, the Crosses, the Colbys, the ones that you can extend, do you want them starting games? Or do you want them to stay what they're doing and giving you those middle relief innings? And he said that's probably the hardest thing we have right now in this rotation, because, you know, Sundstrom is doing so well in what he's doing right now. Why are you going to move him to somewhere else, if that makes sense? And I'll be interested to see what happens. Maybe they are going to be a team who just has openers, and then their strength is their back end of the bullpen. So we'll see what happens. I think he's a guy who could definitely be in the rotation next season, you know, for sure. And I think Camden Clark is a guy who could be in the rotation next year too. It's just all these guys right now are doing so well at the position Oz has them in now, so why would you change is the only
And I think Camden pushback. Clark was a starter at Pearl River. Is
yeah,
that
he was.
Not correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And at 10-1 walk to strikeout ratio.
Crazy?
I don't think I've ever seen that this far into a season, anybody having a 10-1 strikeout ratio. But Bob, we might have to get him to a preacher with all that hate in his heart, especially for those
that
hitters.
That was Matthew Russo sitting right beside him when he said that. And, of course, Russo's not affected by much of anything. He just grinned and shook his head.
No, but if you are a pitcher, that's exactly what you want to do.
That surprised me a little bit.
You don't want to just strike a guy out. You want to make him look stupid. Yeah.
All right, speaking of interviews, you're going to be doing a good one for us Thursday.
Oh, well, Coach Anderson, I'm going to actually see him today, Blake today, Anderson, with the spring football. They got underway earlier this week. And, boy, you talk about, as Desi Arnaz used to say, and I Love Lucy, got some splaining to do.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can get that on tomorrow. I was thinking it was tomorrow you were doing it for some
reason. No practice actually tomorrow. So they will have their practice today, and we'll get to talk to him after practice today. And
you a spring football guy, Demo?
Yep, I'll be there today. And then, so I guess I'll see Kelly out there. Yeah, but I mean, obviously it's a whole new roster. They're like last in the country in returning production, 134 out of 134. So I looked on and shout
out. Any good news, Demi, you want to share with us?
shout out Glenn Dyer, 247 Sports, kind of looking at his stuff because he was there yesterday. And of course, I was in Starkville. And it sounds like Blake Anderson is just kind of currently, at least, doesn't really know anything about his team. And he's like, they're out here, they're running, they're throwing, but I don't really know. You know, there's still a lot to figure out about where to place them, if that makes sense.
He's got a lot of work to do between now and September, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, and it all starts, I guess, with spring football. So we'll bring you that interview. Also, we're going to be bringing an interview before the end of the week with Matthew Russo as well.
And App State, you know, they're coming in here this weekend. So we'll get the Mountaineers' perspective No doubt they saw that score last night too, and probably raised some eyebrows over in Boone. So we'll see
maybe
as they
we can see how the other league teams did last night.
Come to the Pete.
We're gonna eat tacos Friday. Hope you'll join us. Fuzzy's Tacos, Super Talk Eagle Hour, back on the road. Mo Bay Beignet Company, that'd be a good place to go today. Get some delicious beignets, hot coffees. 2902 Hardy Street. Also want to remind you about our podcast on Apple, Audible, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, YouTube, Alexa, or Siri will play it for you. And this is a dedicated man. He got back from Starkville at 1 o'clock in the morning and put up the podcast.
Yeah, apologize for not doing that at 4.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, Jewel Master sponsors this segment of the program, and that's where you go for all of your gold and silver, old coins, old jewelry. You'll get top dollar. It'll be very confidential. It'll be very quick, and you will walk out the front door with cold, hard cash in your hands. No one's done it better or longer than Marty Vick. And when you go in there, make sure you meet Cindy Vick, because she's an angel walking around the earth, isn't she, Kelly?
Jewel Masters prevent you from having jewel disasters.
Wow. Would you listen to that? It must be the inspiration of that snow cone shirt you're wearing today.
Again, you guys are so jealous of my threads.
Have you ever seen a grown man wear a shirt with snow cones on it, Dima?
No, I haven't. I was trying to think of a joke, but I couldn't think of one.
You guys aren't confident enough in who you are to wear clothes like
this. He's also wearing his free peepers. I'm sure the shirt was free somehow, but the peepers
Do you ever comb your hair either? Look at the back of his hair sticking up.
What's because of this headset?
The peepers came from MCS Home Center. That's where Kelly goes for all his home repair, home remodeling, and home construction. You know, he is a DIY warrior on the weekends.
A DUI warrior.
Oh, that's right. I got to mix up. DUI warrior.
Hey, I talked to Stone Lott today. I was coming back from the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and my phone rings. I said, hey, this is Kelly. And Stone and I got time, and he readily admits he runs the Southern Miss Athletic Department.
I think I told you I spent a good bit of time with Stone this weekend at baseball. I had a delightful time. He's a wonderful guy.
I remember last year at one of the football practices, there was some question as to who the running back was going to be early in the year. And I said, Stone, so who are we going to start this weekend at running back? And he said, I haven't decided yet.
All right, David, news and notes.
Yeah, let's start with league play. Not very good last night in the Sun Belt. 3-10 overall as a league in the midweek game. So that's not good. These are the conference games this weekend. Texas State on the road at Georgia State. Coastal Carolina on the road at Marshall. Troy on the road at Georgia Southern. James Madison on the road at Arkansas State. ULM on the road at Louisiana. And App State on the road at Southern Miss, and then Old Dominion on the road at South Alabama. So those are the conference series this weekend. You know, nothing really stands out there, honestly, off the top of my head. I mean, I'm interested to see ULM kind of bounce back and see where Texas State is at after sweeping Louisiana. So, but other than that, it's kind of just kind of a boring weekend. No blockbuster matchups this weekend.
Well, softball, the women's softball team playing quite well, thank you, after winning their second conference series this past weekend. By the way, that is the first time in 12 years that the women have won consecutive conference series in softball. So definitely on an upward trend for sure. They play Nichols tonight at the Golden Eagle Softball Complex in Hattiesburg. Nichols comes in here with an overall record of 19-12. They're 7-2 in the Southland, but Southern Miss defeated Nichols on February 25th, 7-3. That game was down in Thibodaux. They're really playing good softball right now. In fact, defensively, they are in the top 15 in the country in fielding percentage. Wow. So they're really flashing some leather there defensively. And tonight, by the way, if you're going to the game, first pitch is at 6 o'clock. The Greek students, the fraternities and sororities, are hosting a canned food drive heading into the Easter weekend to provide some meals for needy families for Easter. So if you go to the game tonight, you know, just go through the cupboards, maybe see some non-perishable food that you might want to take and help those students do that. And ULM, after getting rid of their men's basketball coach, after just 1 year, we had kind of joked with Scotty Fletcher, the women's coach, as to maybe he would be a good fit for that men's side, but he said he's very, very comfortable coaching on the women's side at ULM. But Dima, they've got a new coach.
Yeah, they hired Ryan Cross, who comes over from as being an assistant coach at UAB. And so Ryan Cross coming over from UAB, he served at the Warhawks over eight seasons from 2012 to 2020. So, you know, it's interesting. I think it's an interesting hire. It's a really hard place to sell. So,
sure.
You know, I think assistant coach at UAB, I think that's a pretty good
step up.
Yeah.
But Troy is still in the market for a men's basketball coach. And considering that Troy has been the season or the tournament champion the past 2 years in a row, I would think that Troy job would be a good job that somebody might want, and a lot of people, I'm sure, yeah, would want. But knowing it's just going to be a one bid league anyway, right. I think any of these hires for basketball in any of the teams that might have an opening, you're going to see, just similar to what ULM did, get an assistant coach from some other team to get the chance.
All right, as we leave today, I want to remind you a new edition of the Legends Podcast comes out tomorrow on Spotify and Apple, thanks to my technical guru here, Dima Mixon. Scott Berry joins me for the full hour, and you're going to be really surprised if you listen to this when I ask Scott Berry what prompted him to retire at the top of his game. You may be really surprised by the answer. And right before we went on the air, Kelly and I were both on the phone with Jeff Bauer. I spent the morning with him this morning. I think it's one of the most rewarding mornings of my career. And that podcast is coming out very soon, but what a great man, Kelly. You know him very well.
I don't know how you got it all in an hour, Bob, because
we could have gone 2 hours.
Yeah, easily. Sure.
We could have gone 2 hours. Sure, appreciate everybody listening. Dima, thank you, man. It wouldn't be up and running if it wasn't for this young man. All right, back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.